That hymn that we've just sung presents us with that question: are we ready to meet God? Are we made a real Christian? And really an examining of ourselves and to our state before the Lord. And in a way, this parable that we have, the parable of the sower, speaks on this theme. It's very challenging. We sometimes remind ourselves that perhaps it ought to be called the parable of the ground. It's really a parable that speaks about the hearing of the word. How do we hear the word? What effect has the word of God had upon us? And we need to consider some of these things. So this morning I want to come to consider this parable and to look at something of what it takes, really not down in the detail of each of the individual soils so much as really this challenging question as to what it is that's taking place as the Lord speaks of seed being sown and ourselves as the hearers of the word. There are different ways in which we can hear God's word, and I suppose we could say that even now as we sit here this morning, this parable is being worked out, illustrated. It's taking place right now. Every single way that we can respond to the word of God is set before us in this parable, and here as we sit and respond to the word of God, we will fall into one or other of these categories. How do we hear the word of God? How does the word of God affect us? As we mentioned earlier in the service, are we just simply going through the motions and hearing the words, but not really hearing, not really seeking, not really inquiring after these things? And so the Lord here, as he speaks of this great parable here, is setting before us something of what happens when the word of God is opened out as the sower sows the seed. So I want us firstly then to consider the seed. He speaks much, doesn't he, of how the seed is cast into the ground. The sower goes forth to sow. We'll just consider then firstly what is this seed. And of course the Lord himself, he explains it to us. He tells us quite clearly that the seed is the word of God. The word of God. In this parable here in Matthew 13, he speaks of it as the word of the kingdom. Notice how he says that a number of times there. Verse 19, will anyone hear of the word of the kingdom? It's in Mark's Gospel, where Mark speaks of it as simply the word in the parallel account. In Mark's Gospel, the word is sown, and it's Luke who in his account speaks of it as the word of God. So here, there's three different ways in which the seed is described, but we can see that it's all speaking of the same thing, the word of God, the word of the kingdom. See, we're not dealing with insignificant things here. We're dealing of things that are speaking of God himself speaking to us. Things that speak of the kingdom of God. We're not speaking about small thoughts and ideas here. We're not speaking about how somebody can stand in the pulpit and give a short little homily which is interesting and entertaining. We're speaking about the very word of God. The word. The word. There is no other word that is of comparison to this. This is something that is deep. This is something that deals with matters of the kingdom of God. And of course we understand as we read the scriptures, don't we, that there are only these two kingdoms. It's the kingdom of God, there's the kingdom of Satan. That kingdom that's ruled by God. And the kingdom that's sadly ruled by Satan, and we need to be rescued from that kingdom. And so this is this word that is sown, this seed that is sown. Here is the very word of God. And we come to hear the word of God. We are conscious, we should be conscious that this is God himself speaking. Do we think of that when we read the Bible, when we read the scriptures, and we come to our daily reading, we come now to the preaching of the word of God? Do we sit here thinking this is God speaking, this is God's word, this is what God has to say to us? Or do we somehow come and think that these are just interesting stories, like these people that just thought of the parables as just an interesting account? We're not seeing the depth of it here. Here's God speaking to us. Here's a message. When God speaks, he's conveying a message. There's something he wants to say to us. And so as the seed is sown, we want to see an effect. If there's a message here, they're not just words without meaning. It says words that convey a message, words that are meant to change, words that come from the living God himself. Here's the word of the kingdom then. And so they're not the preacher's own words. These are God's words that we're speaking of here, being sown in our hearts. Notice what he says there in verse 19. about the first soul and the wicked one. There in the middle it says, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. You see, where this seed, where it's meant to be planted, you see, where the word of God is meant to find root, it's in the heart. These are matters of the heart. And here's Satan, he does his best to snatch these things away, but we see where it's meant to be. We see what it is, and we come to the word of God, and we come to the preaching of the word. God speaks to the heart. He speaks to your heart. He speaks to my heart. These aren't things that stay in our heads as mere knowledge. They're not so that we can recount in an academic way our knowledge of the scriptures, our knowledge of doctrine, our knowledge of mere words. These are words that have an effect because God speaks to the heart. The seed is meant to be in the heart, and Satan always desperate that it should not find a resting place in our hearts. So easy it is, isn't it, for our minds to be distracted and for it simply to lie on the surface till it's gone and snatched away. But the Lord wants it to rest in our hearts. Do we come with that desire that our hearts are open before the Lord, laid bare before the Lord, that the Lord God, by His Word, would address our very hearts, that seat of our being, that which is of what we are, of our relationship with God, of that never dying soul, of that will live for eternity. So the Lord speaks to the seat of our emotions, the seat of our affections, the seat of our response to the Word. How is it that we respond to this Word? You see, it's the heart that's to be engaged in the matter, and not the mind only. Oh yes, it goes in through the mind, but it sinks into the heart. That's where the seed is to find its resting place. So it's a spiritual work. We're not coming to hear a political exposition. We're not coming to hear somebody standing up and simply trying to get people to follow them in some earthly sense. We're speaking of a spiritual work here. That which speaks of a need that our hearts have to be right with God. So here's the word of God, the word of the kingdom, the word of God's kingdom, speaking to our very hearts itself, that it would do that spiritual work. And what are these things? Well, they're matters of life and death. If you turn to Luke's account, and the parallel account in Luke's gospel, Luke in chapter 8, you find what it is that is said here about one of the categories of hearers, Luke 8. And verse 12, again, it's this Satan snatching away. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. There it is again. Out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, this is what the word of God is about. This message, this God speaking to our hearts, this spiritual need, it's the most important of all. It's a matter of life and death, eternal life, of eternal death. It's a word that is to be believed, that we might be saved. This is the importance of the word. This is the importance of what God is speaking to us when He speaks to us in our hearts. These are things of eternity. These are things that speak of our need of salvation, our need to be saved. And surely there's no more important theme upon this earth. What could be more important for us to be engaged in, to be attentive to seek that the Lord would open our eyes, to give us an understanding, to draw us to see the seriousness of these things. The Word of God is about the matters of the heart, the matters of eternity, our need to be saved, and the need for us to believe. To believe these things. And so it is that it comes immediately, isn't it, to the heart of the gospel. This is what he's talking about here. So this sowing of the word, this word of God that comes forth, the word of the kingdom, it's speaking about this great gospel message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What is it we're to believe? Believe in Jesus, in who He is, in what He came to do, what He achieved at Calvary. Believe in the necessity of it, our own need of salvation, our own sinfulness, our guilt before Him, before a holy God. We're to believe these things, and in believing, we are saved. But it's by the preaching of the Word that sinks into the heart that these great truths become revealed to us. And so it is that we can respond to these things. And so here in this parable of the sower, we're speaking about the seed being sown. We're speaking of things that are, oh, they demand our attention. They demand that we respond to these things. They demand that we sit here with a seriousness that God would speak to us and open our hearts and take away those hard and stubborn hearts, those hearts that have not responded, and to put in there a heart that is softened, a heart that has been opened by the Spirit of God, a heart that responds to this great message that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's the message of the kingdom. Here is the one who's come from that kingdom, the Lord Jesus himself, come from his kingdom, as it were, to rescue us from Satan's kingdom, to take us into his kingdom. And so it is that we need to be those who respond to these great truths. So yes, I need this message. Yes, I need this Saviour. Yes, I need to be forgiven. I need to be saved. I believe in this Lord Jesus. Do you believe this morning? Can I ask you that now? Have you heard this message? Have you heard this word? There are many times that you've heard with your ears, but have you heard with the heart? Many times that you've sat here perhaps and heard the same message. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. You must confess and repent of your sins and turn to him to have a new heart. But have you really heard that? Have you really responded to that? Have you really felt that need? And then as a consequence, have you felt that word of God sinking into your heart? So has it remained in the head, in the ears, and gone no further? Or has it sunk into the heart? Have you believed? Have you known that forgiveness of sins? Have you been saved? And so here then, as the parable of the sower is set before us, we see then the significance of what he's speaking of. Matters that are more important than anything else we could consider. Matters of the heart. Matters of eternity. Matters of our eternal soul, never dying soul, of our salvation. Well then, I want us then to consider secondly, what is the expected result then of this sowing of the seed? We've seen that there should be something that affects the heart. There needs to be that believing and that being saved. But here, as the Lord Jesus speaks of these different grounds, the different ways in which we can respond to the word, and the different ways in which the seed is planted into the soil, then we can ask ourselves, can't we, how it is that it should be received by ourselves, and how the word of God should have an effect. Well, firstly, of course, it must take root. It must take root. That's the first ground that we have set before us, isn't it? It has no root because it's snatched away. It has no root when it falls there in the stony places. It says there in verse 20, it had no root in itself and endures just for a short time. See, the seed that is sown is not simply just to affect the heart, but to take root there. To remain there, not to be snatched away by Satan, not to lie upon the surface and allow the birds of the air to take it away. But as it sinks into the heart, it's to remain there, to dwell there. It's to be a word that we meditate upon, a word that feeds us, a word that nourishes us, nourishes the soul. It's the word of God sinks into our heart. It's the seed that is planted in the soil and takes root and it grows. Do we treat the word of God like that? Do we know that effect upon us when we read the word of God? We hear the preaching of the word. Is it a word that we store up in our hearts? You think of Mary of old, who hearing all those messages about the Lord Jesus, she pondered them in her heart. You see how it is? It's taken root. It's kept in the heart. It remains in the heart. And so it's pondered upon and meditated upon. That which just endures for a while. That which is snatched away by Satan. That which just doesn't take root. It's not that which just has a permanent effect, is it? How does the word of God affect you? Does it have a permanent effect? Is it something that you'd love, like the psalmist of old, to meditate upon? In the night watches, when you're lying there awake, and is it the word of God that you find readily comes to your mind? Is it in the times of difficulty down through the day, when there are those urgent needs that come upon you, and is it a natural thought? For our hearts are turned to the word of God, the promises in the word, the encouragements in the word. And those things that are stored up there in our hearts, if they're things that are merely laid upon the surface and have taken no root, then we find no help there. The Word of God is to be that which then has taken root and is planted, and we're to ponder and meditate upon the Word, and to find that our understanding of the Word of God grows, is to take root. It's also, we see here in his account here, a word that is to bring joy. It's to bring joy. The planting of the Word of God, the effect of the Word of God in our hearts, this glorious gospel message of a Saviour who's come to save us, of a Word that can be taking place in our hearts, it brings forth a response of joy. You notice how the Lord speaks about that there, doesn't he? In verse 20, when he speaks about the seed in stony places, he says, the same as he that hears the Word, and anon, immediately, with joy, receiveth it. But, goes on, doesn't he? Talks about how he's lost it. But that is the effect that he should have had and should have remained, is joy. The receiving of the Word of God is a word that brings joy to our hearts. I wonder if we know something of that. A seed planted in our hearts, but a word that brings joy. Lasting joy. Not a passing joy like here. You see, there was a response here. There was an immediate response of joy. There was an excitement. There was a thrill. There's a word here that moves me, but it passes. It's to be a joy that's lasting. A joy that's real. A joy that sees us through all the adversities and cares and concerns. Because you see what it is that the Lord says here. It says that there when persecution or tribulation arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. See, there are things that take away that joy when it hasn't taken root. But the joy that should be there as a response to what the Lord has done in our hearts is a joy that sees us through trials and tribulations, a joy that remains in adversities. Do we know that? Has the Word of God had that effect upon us? The Gospel of the Lord Jesus? Has it had that effect upon our hearts, in our lives, that when we go into times of tribulation, times of adversity, times of struggling, times of upset, that the joy remains? Or is it choked? Does it wither? Is it gone? You see, this is what the Lord expects. You see, each of these accounts, as he speaks of what happens when the soil, when the seed falls upon the ground that isn't that fertile ground, he's really setting before us what it should be like in its fullness, in the real effect, in the good ground, is to take root, is to bring forth a joy that's lasting, a joy that in the middle of persecutions and struggles and trials and tribulations, it remains. Now there's something that's lasting. You see, here's an evidence of the work of God. See, joy in the world's eyes, the joy that's conjured up and manufactured, is a fleeting joy. The joy, the happiness that comes from our exercises and of our parties and the things that we engage in, that's passing, it's fleeting. It doesn't see us through times of trouble. But this joy, the joy that comes from the work of God in the heart, the seed of God, having been sown in the heart, is a joy that lasts. And when tribulations come, or persecutions, or difficulties in the way, it's a joy that remains. Is that a response that we know in our hearts? There's a third aspect here of this expected result as well. It brings, again, to the believer, to the soul that has been affected by the Word of God, brings a heavenly perspective. It brings a new direction in life. It brings a sense of our eternal destiny and brings a right view of the things of this world. So there's a heavenly perspective here. You notice what he speaks of that extra category of ground amongst the thorns. He says, he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. The care of this world. Genuine, it's real. There are cares. There are struggles in this world, but it's the care of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. That's a treasure of this world, isn't it? Sometimes that desire for more of this world's wealth and of this world's comforts, it chokes out the word. You see, but it's this world again. And it becomes unfruitful. In some of the parallel accounts, he speaks also of the pleasures of this world. There are those things of this world that can intrude and choke out the Word of God. But what it should have is that heavenly perspective, a view that our treasure is in heaven, that our home is in heaven, that we're to be heavenly minded and to have that right view of the things of this world, that they have their proper place, which is far below all the wonder of what Christ has done for us, the treasures stored up in heaven, that inheritance that is ours. Those are the things that are born out of this seed that is sown in the heart. Do we know something of that? So that something of that joy that comes from the seed that is sown, but not only that, a sense of otherworldliness, a sense, Lord, that we belong to the Lord Himself, and a sense that the things of this world, they're fleeting and they're passing and they're of no consequence, of little consequence compared with eternity. Do we have a right view of this world, a right view of the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, the cares of this world, some of them good and genuine, but do they have their right place, or do they take a preeminence in the heart, when it should be the Lord who has that preeminence, when it should be our understanding of a heavenly home, our understanding that here's a pilgrimage, here's a mere journey, and that we have that right view of the things of the here and now, and a realization that our treasure is in heaven. The thieves don't break through, and rust doesn't affect that which is stored up there. Oh, we can know that joy of knowing that our Lord in glory has a place prepared for His people. See, that's what comes out as well of this seed that is sown in the heart, of that effect that comes, is that heavenly perspective that we have here. And surely also it brings forth a love for the Lord, a love for God. Because that's what the contrast is set here before, isn't it? If the things of this world intrude in our hearts, the riches of this world, the cares of this world, they move, they push out that love and affection that we have for the Lord Himself. We're to love Him above the things of this world. We're to love Him more than anything else. And so if we're those who've had the heart moved by the Word of God, we've known that seed planted in our hearts, we've known something of the work of the Lord in our hearts as we've believed on Him, then it brings forth a response of love. And a love for Him brings a right view of the things of this world. We don't love this world. We love the Lord Himself. The Lord who came to save us. The Lord who died for us. The Lord who gave Himself for us. And so here's this right perspective that we have then. Not the cares, not the riches, not the pleasures of this world, but that right view of those things before a loving Heavenly Father, a loving Saviour, whom we love in return. And then fourthly, of the effects that are to come from this sowing of the seed, of course, is that which the Lord sets before us in the fourth of those grounds, the good ground, is to be fruit. An abundant fruit. A fruit that flourishes. A fruit that remains. We could speak of those other things really as, in a sense, as fruit. That joy that comes from the seed that is sown. That heavenly perspective. That love for the Lord, for our Saviour. They're fruits. But here the Lord says that the fruit, it should be an abundant fruit. It should be a fruit that flourishes. He says some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. There's a varying amount of fruit. There are differences between one and another, but there's fruit, and it's an abundance. It's a fruit that should be evident that here is a heart that has been changed. So it's not a fruit that comes for a moment and then is choked. It's not an effect that is temporary. It's a fruit that is lasting, a fruit that indicates that here a real work has taken place. A heart that has truly been changed. The Word of God has had that glorious effect, and now we find that different desire to bring forth fruit, to be like our Saviour, to bear fruit in this world, to be salt and light in this world. And these are things that should be evident in our hearts. There is to be that new heart, that living heart. That old heart that was dead and unmoved by these things has been replaced by a heart that beats in love in response to the Lord, is affected by the Word of God, is moved by the Word of God, is moved by the sight of our Saviour, is caused to delight, to gather together, to worship God. That's a heart that's been changed. And we need to be those who have had such a heart that's been affected by the sowing of this seed. There's something then of that expected result of the sowing of the seed, something for us to consider in our own response to these things. But then, thirdly, I want us to take a challenge now. What ground does the Word of God find in our hearts? What kind of a ground is there here in our hearts this morning, in my heart and in your heart? We've seen how it is that the Word of God is to have an effect upon us. Have you been changed? Do you know this heart that now loves the law? Do you know that effect of the Lord Jesus revealing himself to you? Revealing your own need, revealing your own sinfulness, but revealing your need of a Saviour. And have you known then, as you've come to lay hold upon Jesus, to believe that, yes, I believe in this Lord Jesus, have you known that change of heart? Have you really come to know him? Or have these just been words that have lain upon the surface and so often been snatched away? And really only each one of us individually can answer that question. Only each one of us, as we stand before God, will say, yes, I know this Saviour. Yes, I know that he's my Redeemer. Yes, I know that he's heard my prayer for forgiveness. And he's changed me. He's given me this heart. And I see this response. And I see this fruit. And I see that he's done this work. But it's for each one of us here. It's not because of the family that you're brought up in. It's not your parents that will be able to stand and speak for you on that great day of judgment. It's you yourself. And each of us here this morning, we need to respond to the Lord ourselves and say, yes, I know. I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that he's changed me. I know that he's my Saviour. Is there then that response of joy in our hearts? Is there that response of love? Is there that response of fruit in our lives? But I want us to also consider, as perhaps those who this morning would answer yes to those questions, but say, yes, I know the Saviour. Yes, I knew what it was to believe in Jesus and that experience of knowing that I'm his and of being saved. I've known that he's forgiven my sins. I know that I have a home in heaven. Yes, I know something of these things that you're saying. It has taken place in my heart that I am a believer. Then I want us to think, how does this apply to us as well this morning? See, it's not just the preaching of the gospel message and our response to that that the Lord is speaking of here. But every time that the word is preached, every time that the seed is sown, does it have an effect upon you? See, right now this morning, it's no good us sitting here saying, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus, I've been saved, and so this doesn't really apply to me anymore. Because we're all here sitting, as it were, different types of ground as the word is preached. And this morning, what kind of a ground is presented before the Lord God? Is it still in the same sense that it's hardened ground? Is it finding a resting place in our hearts? Does the word of God, when you come to read it and come to the preaching of the word, does it find that resting place? Is the ground still fertile? Is it still finding root? Is there that response of joy? Is there that response of love? Is there that fruit that is born from it? When you go from this place this morning and come back again this evening and down through the week, will you be meditating upon the word of God? And will it still have that effect? Will it still bring forth a joy and a response of love and a bring a response that speaks of the fruit that is born from the word? Because it should continue to do so. So it's not just that initial sowing of the gospel message in a heart that is saved, but day by day, week by week, how do we respond to the word of God? You see, we can still be careless listeners. We could still hear this morning as believers be those who are indifferent, unmoved, uncaring, hard of heart, taken up with the thoughts of what we're going to be doing tomorrow, and letting Satan snatch away the seed. It happens, doesn't it? We know it does. If we're honest, we know that so often the birds of the air snatch away the words of the preacher before they've even hit the ground. And we need to be those who come with that desire that our hearts are moved. That when we come to the Word of God day by day and read it, We come to him with that desire that the word would sink into our heart and again have an effect. And every time the seed is sown, we want to be moved. We want to have that growth. We want to have that fruit in abundance. We want to see it having an effect upon us. And we want to meditate upon it and to know that joy that comes from it. And that should continually apply to our hearts and our lives as we go down in our Christian walk before the Lord. Should we not want to know more of him and to know our continual working in our hearts as the seed is sown? I want us in closing then to consider something of that application to our hearts as believers, as we consider something of the sowing of the seed. Think of that imagery again of the sower with his seed. He has a bag of seed and he's casting out the seed into the ground. And the word of God is like that. It's full of riches. It's more than a bag of seed, isn't it? It's the word of God in every aspect, every part of the word of God here that we have is full of these riches that should have an effect upon us. And every time we come to read the word, it's as though there's a new seed that is sown. Could you count the seeds that could be sown from the word of God here that we have physically in our hands? Could you count each individual seed, the truths that are there? Could you really sum up all that the Lord could possibly say to us? You couldn't, could you? There's an infinite variety of seeds and effects that we could find here in the word of God. And so, when we think about one seed being sown, and the Lord's application there, that it should bring forth an abundance. We think of the seed that's sown in the ground. You plant a seed in the garden, and it brings forth a single plant with a multitude of fruit upon it. One seed, bringing forth plenteous fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now think of the Word of God. And think of the seeds in the Word of God. Each individual truth that comes to bear upon our minds, does that bear fruit? Each time you read the word, each time you hear the word preached, each nugget is to be treasured. Each part of God's word ought to bring forth tremendous fruits in our lives. A promise that you find. One promise, one seed, you might find a promise in the word of God. Does that not bring forth something of that great fruit? Something of that delight? Something of the comfort? Where's the fruit that comes from finding a promise? Is it not the comfort? Is it not something of that increase in faith that we know? When we find that here's another promise of God found in the Word of God, and that one seed brings forth fruit in our lives of an increase of faith and of comfort and encouragement. Perhaps we find a seed that is a seed that speaks of a truth, of a doctrine, of an attribute of God, something of his nature. Just one seed, just one aspect. Doesn't that bring forth fruit? Should there not be there something of that response of praise to God, of adoration, of wonder, of amazement when we learn of God communicating his attributes and speaking of himself, and there's a doctrine and there's a depth there, but it could be just one seed, one doctrine, one truth that's revealed to us, and the response is a response of praise and of glory to God. Sometimes perhaps we find a seed in the Word of God that is perhaps an injunction, a command, something that the Lord requires of us. What fruit does that bear? Does that bear fruit in your life? A response of obedience? A response of immediate, heartfelt, sincere obedience? A desire to obey and to serve and to be right in His sight? That should come, shouldn't it, from that fruit, from that seed that is sown there. Perhaps we find an appeal in the Word of God. Oh, that they would return unto me. Just one seed, one appeal from a loving Heavenly Father, one appeal from a Saviour. Does that not bring forth fruit in our lives? A response of devotion, a response of immediate desire to come come to walk closely with Him, to experience those things, and the Lord Himself appeals to us, there should be that fervent response and that delight to serve Him and to love Him. Perhaps a seed of reproof. Perhaps we find something in the Word of God that finds its mark in our hearts, and perhaps it hurts for a moment, a chastisement, a reproof, or the Lord puts His finger upon something in our lives. Is there a fruit from that? When that seed is sown, is there a response there? A response of sorrow, of humility, of a humbling of ourselves before the Lord, of contrition, of a desire to be right before Him, to confess those things, to return like the prodigal, whatever it might be, that reproof, is there? Does it bring forth that response in our hearts? There are so many seeds, aren't there, that we can find here in the Word of God, and each individual one should bring forth a response. And what about the seed of a sight of our Saviour? We're told, aren't we, that the Scriptures, in all the Scriptures, we find those things that speak of the Lord Jesus. Do you find that? A little seed here, a little seed there. A glimpse, a sight of the Lord Jesus. A sight of your Saviour. A sight of the Son of God who came to die for you. Does that bring forth a response? Does that bring forth a response of joy? A response of delight, a response that cheers a heart that perhaps is fainting and flagging, that's a lifting up for the downcast, that brings just at the right time that sense of our belonging to a Saviour who loves us, a sight of the Saviour, a smile from the Saviour at that time of darkness brings such encouragement and solace to the needy soul. See, these are all the things that should be a response in the hearts of believers, in that fertile ground, the ground that has been broken by the Spirit of God, that has been prepared to receive the Word of God. And this is something that should continually be evident in our lives. And it's for us to then seek that we should know those things in our lives, in our hearts. So then this morning, is the question that comes to us then, is, are we those who have that good ground? Have we first come and received that gospel message, but have we then gone on to know something more of the seed sown, something more of that effect, something of that fruit being born, something of that delight and joy that comes from knowing these things, but oh, that these things will bring praise and glory to His name alone. Matters of the heart is what the sower has done. Who is the sower? Not really the preacher, is it? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God Himself, isn't it? To plant the seed in our hearts. But He says here, notice what He says at the beginning of His account here, verse 9. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And if this morning you're one who say, yes, I know the Lord Jesus, and He is my Saviour, then there's a way in which we can take that verse and say, yes, you do have ears to hear. Then take heed how you hear. Ensure that you do hear. Meditate upon the Word of God. Come with that prepared ground. Come with that desire that the seed should not be snatched away, should find a resting place in your heart, and be that which brings forth fruit to His praise and His glory. Amen. Amen.